Hello, and welcome to the NVIDIA AI Podcast. I'm your host, Noah Kravitz. Autonomous vehicles require a massive amount of data and computing to drive, fly, or otherwise get from point A to point B safely and successfully. Teaching a vehicle to see what's on the road in front of it is a big part of the puzzle, one where computer vision and deep learning play huge roles. Our guest today recorded a session for GTC Digital about using GANs, generative adversarial networks, to help autonomous vehicles systems see as well in rainy and snowy conditions as they do when it's clear out. Really, their session's about a lot more than that. And I'm oversimplifying just by way of trying to do a nice little intro to bring our guests on. So let's get to that. Nikita Jaipuria is a research scientist in computer vision and machine learning at Ford Motor Company. And Rohan Bazin is a research engineer at the Ford Motor Company. And hopefully, even though they just taught me how to say them, I didn't butcher their names too badly, but I'll let them come on and hand it over to them, so to speak. Nikita and Rohan, thank you so much for joining the NVIDIA AI Podcast.
Thank you for having us here, Noah.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So I'm just going to read the title of your talk, and then I'm going to ask you what it's about, and I'm going to get out of the way because you can explain it much better than I ever could. Generating diverse and photorealistic synthetic data for real-world perception tasks. So tell us, what's that about, and how does it relate to your work at the Ford Motor Company?
Okay, so I'll start off by basically talking about how dataset bias is a well-known problem in computer vision. It's really hard for us to go out and collect datasets which will be a good representation of the amount of diversity that you can expect to see when you're actually driving outside in the real world. Mm-hmm. So what this leads to is an issue with deploying deep neural networks. Most of the state-of-the-art deep neural networks actually rely on supervised learning, which means they need labels for the data that they train from. And not only that, they often fail to generalize to unseen scenarios and or data sets. They are not as good as us in terms of figuring out how to work in situations which they haven't seen during training.
Okay.
What we are talking about in this GTC talk is how you can use a combination of gaming engine-based simulations and generative modeling, in particular generative adversarial networks, or GANs for short, to fill this gap in real-world datasets for training, validating, prototyping AI-based features.
So when you're talking about diversity in images, mm-hmm. I mentioned that in the intro, you know, the difference between a clear day and a rainy day or a snowy day. What are, just to kind of set the stage for listeners, what are some of the, how do you define diversity in images?
So that's a really important question. And I think it's more than that. So let's actually take an example to make this easy.
Perfect.
Let's consider the task of lane detection, which is a common vision task that every autonomous vehicle or driver assist feature needs to solve for it to be able to navigate, right?
Right.
Now, in order for you to be able to train a deep neural network to do lane detection, you not only need to give it data with diversity in weather and lighting conditions, as you said, like give it night scenes, give it rainy scenes, give it cloudy scenes to train on. You also need to give it data which is diverse in terms of, say, the number of lane lines that you see in the image, or the types of lane markers that you see, or the damage levels of lane markers, or say, lane markers masked by shadows. Does that make sense?
It does. And it's, you don't think about it until you think about it, so to speak. Or I should say, I don't. I'm sure you think about it more than you probably want to. But there are solid lines, there are dashed lines, there's single, there's double, there's old roads where you can't see them. You paint a good picture.
Yeah. So it's basically this diversity, which we think is really hard for you to go out and collect in the real world using, say, dashboard cameras on your vehicle.
Right.
And this is where synthetic data comes in. And to paint a picture of how we are using synthetic data, video games are super popular, right? And mm-hmm. I'm assuming more so these days because of the shelter in place.
I can only speak for my own kids, but I'm going to agree with you, yes.
Yeah, so you would agree that there's a lot of progress that has been made in the past 20 years in terms of the perceptual quality or fidelity of these video games, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a lot of AI and graphics expertise that has gone into making this happen. Now, the question that we are trying to answer is, can we do the other way around? Can we use this progress to now improve AI features that we are developing? For instance, the lane detection task. And while the realism that you get from today's gaming engines is good, it's still questionable. It's still not as good as what you would get from real data. And that's where GANs come in, because GANs are really popular AI tools now, which can help you generate photorealistic imagery. In fact, there's deepfakes, which have been all over in the news.
Sure.
Yeah, so you might have heard of them. There's faces that you can generate using GANs, which are indistinguishable from real faces, right?
Right.
So, but then it's really hard for you to control the low-level semantics of the data that you generate using GANs. So what we really want to do is combine the benefits of using simulation engines or gaming engines, which will help you control the low-level scene semantics and give you the annotation that you need for training deep neural networks, and then do something called sim to real. So go from simulation to photorealistic images for those scene semantics using GANs. And Rohan will talk a little bit more about actually the simulation pipeline that we have, which helps us do this, which is based off of Unreal Engine. That's something of interest.
So to jump in, Rohan, before you dive into that, just to kind of understand on a high level, again, I'm sure I'm oversimplifying, this isn't quite right, but we're setting up, or you're setting up, a simulated environment within which to train the AI tools that, you know, may or will be used in an autonomous vehicle guidance system. But what we're talking about right now is all in a simulated environment.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So as Nikita said, I work on kind of developing the simulation environment, which we use to generate data and then train a downstream perception task. In this case, in this example, right, lane detection. So I will kind of do the work inside the gaming engine, Unreal Engine, to set up an environment where we can vary all of the noise factors that Nikita mentioned, right?
Right?
Whether to make it night, make it rainy, make it snowy, change the number of lanes, whether they're solid lines, dashed lines, how broken up or damaged the lines are, whether they're white or yellow, or whether they're visible at all. And that's kind of the work that I'm doing. So we have an in-house simulation pipeline that we've kind of put together to do work for these kind of AI-based features. And it involves, you know, Unreal Engine, which allows us to use realistic 3D models and geometry, as well as materials, to kind of get the best realistic effect that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can scale that up by deploying it on high-performance computing clusters and generating large amounts of data in a very short period of time. And then this simulated data is kind of what we feed into the simulated side of the generative adversarial networks, to make that data look as realistic as possible.
And so then what does the, there are a couple points that I wanted to ask about. One is what sim to real means, and how big, that sounds like something that would be a big daunting task, part of the pipeline, but perhaps not. And then also, what is the GAN then, if the GAN is taking the most realistic data you can give it, what is it spitting out on the other side?
Yes, let me answer the second part of that question first, which is that, so the most realistic data that I can generate is still not photorealistic in the sense that you can easily, you can look at it and say, I'm not sure if this came from something that's not real or if it came from the real world. And the GANs kind of make it much harder to identify, you know, which is real and which is not.
Got it. And then I assume the GAN is able to, or if not now, maybe in the future, but the GAN is able to kind of get close enough to real that it's sufficient to train the navigational systems?
Yeah, absolutely. In some cases, it's, and you know, as Nikita gave the example of deepfakes, it's borderline impossible to tell which is real and which is
right,
generated by the GAN.
Right.
Yeah. And just to add to it, as you correctly mentioned, Noah, the sim to real piece is a big daunting piece. The sim to real piece is where the GAN takes in the data which Rohan will generate here, for instance, which, as he was mentioning, is not as photorealistic as what you would get in the real world. And it will try and convert it into something that looks photorealistic. And it's daunting because not only are these networks really hard to train, they are also very sensitive to the training data. So your real data, which you use to train them, has a lot to impact in terms of how well you get the photorealism in the end.
So how did you wind up deciding, getting the idea and deciding that you needed to bring GANs in to make the data more realistic, sufficient to train the systems? Was it a sort of a necessity is the mother of invention situation, or was it kind of somewhere earlier along you kind of knew, all right, this data we've got, it looks pretty good, the gaming engine stuff, but we know it's not going to be enough. And so before we get any further, let's strategize for how to get it there.
I think we did start strategizing before it became a situation that we had to use GANs.
Yeah.
We knew somewhere during the process that this will only get us to a desired level of photorealism. And if we want to go beyond that, one option is to go out and hire massive teams of graphics artists. The mm-hmm. other is use something like GANs. And we felt investing time in the second option made more sense. So yeah, that's what we decided to do.
How long have you been working on this?
It's been over a year and a half that okay. I have been working on the GAN piece for this, along with the bigger team at Ford. But the simulation piece of this, if I'm not wrong, Rohan, has been, 4 to 5 years for us now?
Yeah, roughly about 4 years, I would say.
And obviously, you know, this world is moving incredibly quickly. And a lot of people who've come on the podcast have talked about how the past kind of 2 to maybe 5 years, we've seen really rapid acceleration in the progress of, you know, everything we talk about when we talk about AI. Have you seen, even within that kind of 1.5 year period that you were talking about, Nikita, have you seen a noticeable acceleration of the progress you're able to make? Or if not, maybe a better question is there something that's kind of surprised either of you just within the time frame since you started working on this?
You know what, Noah? The progress, the rate of progress is what has surprised me the most.
Yeah, definitely.
So honestly, I personally was a skeptic when we started working on this because I I just knew how hard it is to deal with GANs. And coming from a machine learning background, I knew how big this sim to real domain shift is and how it impacts performance on real world tasks. But we've been able to see consistent results in terms of significant boosts in performance in cases where the real training data sets that we had were either really tiny to start off with or heavily biased. And when I say heavily biased, maybe they were collected in 2 scenarios with the same vehicle over multiple days, but around the same times of the day. Does that kind of make sense? And those are the situations in which we've noticed significant improvements. Mm. And obviously, replacing 100% of the real data with this sim plus GAN, sim to real translated data doesn't help. It leads to drop in performance. But it's when you start mixing synthetic data with real data, that's when you start seeing the magic.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's when you start seeing boosts in performance, especially to unseen scenarios and data sets.
I'm speaking with Nikita Japuria and Rohan Basin. Nikita is a research scientist and Rohan is a research engineer, both with the Ford Motor Company. And we're talking about their session at GTC Digital 2020, which by the time you listen to this should be available to experience for yourself online. Their session is titled Generating Diverse and Photorealistic Synthetic Data for Real-World Perception Tasks. And we're talking about how they're blending, as the title suggests, real data with synthetic data and using GANs to make already almost photorealistic data even more realistic so that it's sufficient to train autonomous navigation systems for vehicles, which obviously, you know, we're talking about a mission critical thing there where the training and the decisions these systems make, you know, could spell the difference between a safe ride home and something much less safe. So important to get the data as realistic as possible. You mentioned briefly, Nikita, coming from your background in machine learning. And so that's a nice opening to get into how both of you got into the line of work that you're doing. Is it something you've been interested in as a kid? Did you grow up in Detroit under the shadow of the Ford Motor Company and always want to? I actually have a family on my mom's side who way back in the day, they were all Ford people in Detroit. So how did you both wind up working on this?
I actually come from a controls background, interestingly, from undergrad. That's what I did in India. And then I was working with Unilever for a couple of years where I was an engineering manager for one of their plants. And I was working on this end-to-end automation project. For those of you who don't know Unilever, it's a food, fast-moving consumer goods company. So it makes food items, and it was a food processing line. It was an end-to-end automation project that I was leading. And that's what got me really interested into robotics automation. So I decided to pursue grad studies, and I came to the US. I joined MIT. I got interested in robotics, and robotics is so closely intertwined with machine learning. Mm-hmm. That's how I got into machine learning and deep learning. And my connection with Ford, interestingly, is that I was part of actually a project. So industries do projects with universities, and just like that, Ford does projects with MIT. And my research was part of one of these projects. So I knew Ford was working on all these cool things. Yeah. So that's how I'm here at Ford now.
Very cool. And Rohan?
Yeah. I also, my background is also in controls. And I joined Ford right out of college after my undergrad at UC Berkeley. I started out in CAE, so computer aided engineering, and kind of found myself in this simulation team working on developing simulations for autonomous driving features, AI-based perception features. And kind of as we spoke a little bit earlier, kind of the natural progression of the team was that we realized that just using the gaming engine-based simulation wouldn't be enough to kind of drive performance for our features as far as we needed. And so I started moving more towards the AI space and working with Nikita closely on GANs.
We mentioned, or you mentioned earlier, how just the rate of progress itself has been, you know, kind of eye-opening and in a positive way. Converted your skepticism, Nikita, or I'm overstating it there, but you've been surprised by it. But are there other learnings that you've had along the way over the past couple of years that, you know, kind of surprised you, and whether they were unexpected, you know, positive outcomes, or maybe some hurdles you weren't expecting that you had to figure out how to get around?
So I think for me personally, and I'll stick to the GAN example, we ran into a bunch of hurdles with getting the sim to real piece of the pipeline work. And that's primarily what the GDC talk is about. It's talking about these hurdles and how we try to solve them. And one of these hurdles, which we actually didn't think about at all, which was really surprising to us, is imagine all the real data that you used for training the GAN had cars which were F-150s, so trucks.
Right.
Now, when you do sim to real, and if, say, your task was object detection, and in particular, vehicle detection, you would want to, from simulation, generate vehicles and trucks of different makes and models, right? Mm-hmm. You want diversity.
Right.
But interestingly, if you train the GAN on real data, which only has F-150s, in sim to real, it will replace any make or model that you give with an F-150. And it's because, you know, it's no longer learning realism is just textures and surfaces. It's learning F-150 is analogous to real. So that was the biggest challenge for us, because we are doing this because we want to diversify data sets, but we don't want to go out and collect diverse data sets to train the GAN. So there's like this chicken and egg story.
Right,
but we
came up
with a solution which the talk is about, which will be hard for me to explain here, but I would encourage people to go and check it out.
Oh, it's a good teaser. I like it. I had a moment there where I was imagining some very excited product planners, you know, at Ford, like the whole road's F-150s. This is perfect.
It makes for good marketing, but not good results.
Right. So looking forward, and again, without giving away too much of the talk, because as you said, people should go check out the talk online. And obviously without giving away any of Ford's, you know, Ford's secrets, where do you see that the work that you're doing right now may go over the next, you know, the next year and a half, but even out to the next 4 or 5 years? And that can be, you know, answer as specifically or as broadly as you like, but I'm just curious, kind of being this far into it, where you see the potential.
I think for us, our goal is, of course, to apply this to as many vehicle features as possible. And I won't go into naming any, but just our goal is to apply this as broadly as we can, because the applications for our work are pretty broad, right? Anyone who is looking to train perception features that they want to use in the real world, diversity will be the key to their features performing well. And we see this as a way forward for really everybody to diversify the data sets that they have without investing large amounts of, you know, money and time into collecting data in the real world and annotating it and all of the costs associated with that. So for me, I think that's kind of the most exciting part, is how broadly this is applicable and kind of how much we can try to push the community forward as well in this space.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nikita?
No, I think Rohan said it really well. I think for me personally, I'm also interested in seeing how we can apply it to things, to other modalities, like not just restrict ourselves to images, but go to videos, go to maybe different kinds of data sequences that you can work with. So I think that's also something that's of interest to me, so that it's like of a broader use to the company.
No, it's always exciting when you get that inkling that the work that you're doing is not only hitting the mark that you're targeting, but also can have those really broad implications. It's what it's all about. It's exciting. For folks who would like to find out more about what you're doing and your colleagues at Ford are doing in computer vision and machine learning, obviously, again, go check out the GTC session online. But are there other places maybe in the Ford ecosystem online where people can look?
There is a NeurIPS paper. So if NeurIPS is a premier AI conference, we published the work that we are talking about in GTC in a workshop in NeurIPS, and it's up on archive. It's titled On the Role of Receptive Field in Unsupervised Image Translation. So people can definitely go check it out there.
All right. Well, again, Nikita and Rohan, thank you so much for making the time to join the podcast and also to make your GTC talk available on GTC Digital this year. With all the circumstances in the world, we want everybody to stay safe, but also access all of the amazing work that folks like you are doing. And so GTC Digital and the podcast are the ways we can do it. So thank you both. And all the best of luck to you with your work. And again, not only for what you're doing to train autonomous vehicles, but the broader implications as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.